But within a couple of years of their marriage, Mom and I and Dad sit at the dinner table, and my dad said, "We need to have a talk." And I don't know that I've ever even really heard that said before at the table for the three of us. And the announcement of my dad is, Holly is no longer considered to be our daughter or your sister, so we won't be seeing her. And that was the end of the conversation. And what's crazy is today, I still really can't tell you what happened. So the break happened. It wasn't, what do you think? We're just going to try to work through some conflict. It was, this has happened, and it was never brought up again. And I'm probably now maybe 11 or 12 years old. So fast forward, we're in a class with Gary, Irene, and Stacy. You're taking this book through the tribute that ultimately became the Forgotten Commandment. And fast forward to my relationship with my mom. She was the believer in the household. My dad was not saved until later after health changed for him. So I'm grateful that he, in fact, all my siblings, my two sisters are passed, my folks are passed. So I'm the only remaining one on planet Earth. But the cool thing is when I arrive to heaven, they're there. It's awesome. But when we went through this and started talking about what it looked like to honor your father and your mother, it involved doing what Dennis suggests is actually doing a tribute for your parent or parents. And so when we went through the book, my initial response was, I'm not sure I want to do that. My mom was still living. My dad had passed. And it's not that I had a horrible relationship with my mom. She loved me. I loved her. But my dad was the chief of police of the town I grew up in, so you can guess why I became a cop. And so how long has it been since anybody's watched Andy Mayberry and Barney? And it hadn't been that long. I mean, tell me you still remember. We got kids in here who never watched this show. Tell me there's somebody. Well, the kids are all gone, so never mind. But anyway, I grew up in a patrol car. So my dad and I were like this. And so I spent a lot of time with my dad. My mother, even though she was the believer, one of her biggest struggles was her ability to forgive. And so I saw what it looked like to see a person in over time and what happens to somebody who is not willing to forgive and chooses more bitterness and resentment more than forgiveness. And so it was kind of sad. So our relationship was strained over the years. In fact, Yvonne would have to say, when's the last time you called your mom? My dad passed away. She moved to New Mexico, was living there, no family, just to kind of get away. And it would take her and hopefully maybe encouraging the gift of the Holy Spirit to convict me for not initiating a phone call to my mom. So we didn't have a great relationship. She was challenging. She was kind of hard to be around. Just not easy. So the thought of following along the idea of doing something like this to honor my mom was not high on my list. So that may be how some of this responds to you. So long story short, we did go through the book. The Holy Spirit did get my attention and decided that... And I actually could then get excited about what it looked like to do a tribute for her. Now, let me kind of back up. Honoring and doing this process that Dennis kind of walks through this book can be in a variety of different ways. What he suggests, what I did, what most people did, was actually writing something, actually printing it out, framing it, and then presenting them with that, and preferably reading that to them in some type of a setting. We've had people that was musical. We know a guy that was in our group, Bingy, that actually wrote a song to his parents. How cool is that? As a way to honor them. We have a lady that was a graphic artist that did a whole, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like, whoa. So, depending upon your bent and something that would be cool that you think your folks would receive well or bless them, that's something that you could do as well. So anyway, so long story short, we grew up in Kansas. Both my sisters at the time were living up there. We were back for a Thanksgiving meal. This has been many years ago. And so I'm kind of the one that has the ideas of the group. And so we were having a meal. I got off with my sisters, Robin and Holly, and said, hey, we're going through this book, and so I'm thinking about doing something that might bless Mom, and so what do you think? And I described it. Robin immediately, because Robin was the peacemaker and always was in for things, she goes, yeah, I think that'd be cool to do that. And by the way, my sisters were all believers, so we all had that. Can you guess what Holly said? She said, let me know how it goes, and walked off, which is pretty much what I expected. So I said, okay. So Rob and I talked. Fast forward, I go back to Houston. Within about 2 weeks, I got a phone call from Holly. And I've been praying for her about that. I thought, you know what? God's got to be in this. She's got to decide to do it if she wants to do it or not. And the phone call was pretty brief, and she says, you know, I started thinking, praying about it. She goes, I'm in. Really? Wow, that's a pretty big deal. So I planned I kind of put the whole thing together. We gave us several months. I don't remember now. It's been so long ago. I think probably over a 4 or 5 month period of time to individually work on this formalized tribute. And did it. And honestly, we never even shared what we wrote. So it was very much kind of a private thing. So I wrote what I wrote. I don't even remember sharing it with my sisters. And I don't think I ever read theirs either, which is now looking back, that's kind of weird. But anyway, that's how we did it. You don't have to model what I did. But I wanted to do it to time it with my mom's 69th birthday. So we made up a plan to fly in together to meet each other at the airport in El Paso. We have a DEA as an office there. I arranged for some business, so I actually came in a day early. Having done undercover work, I'm a pretty good liar, so I could get away with stuff like that with my mom. Sorry. But anyway, so I arranged to come in for a day early. Mom was super excited. She thought it was just me coming in and we would have the weekend together. I was so excited to get to escape out the door the next day, get to the airport, pick up my sisters, and surprise my mom for her 69th birthday. So we're all pretty excited. We pick up the airport. We're driving to her home, which is a mobile home. We park kind of behind, back a trailer or two. You know, when I did search warrants, you never park in front of the house. You got to stay back a little bit because I didn't want her seeing who we were coming up. So we got out of the car, and we're all just going like, we're excited, but let me stop. So we walk up to the house, get up on the porch, and we knock on the door, and then we just wait. I will tell you that in 13 years, the three of us had never been there before at once to see my mom. You think this is kind of a big deal. So she opened the door and almost fainted. And was like, I mean, she was so totally shocked to see that we were all there. So we end up, you know, obviously it was very fun to be with her and to surprise her and bless her. We go out to dinner that evening. And I'm moving pretty fast because I want to go through some of the other slides. But this is my story, and I think it's been relevant and impactful to others. So we eat dinner. I told Mom, I want you to go to the bedroom because we're getting ready to give you your birthday present. So, again, I had to kind of fudge a little bit what I was telling her. So I sent her to the back bedroom. We go in the opposite bedroom. And so we're getting ready. And so, I mean, the tension, she could cut it with a knife. And so I said, so who's going first? And then, of course, I looked at Holly. And she goes, I can't do it. I said, what? You got to do it. I mean, this is too late to say I can't do it, right? And she's like, I said, you know how bad you're going to look if you don't do this. So I had to kind of put a little pressure on her, which is so godly, don't you think? And she goes, fine. She does what Holly does. So she grabbed her plaque, her frame, and went to the back bedroom. 30 minutes later, she comes back. You can see the emotion in her face. So she didn't really say much. So Robin went, and then I went. And so that's what we did. We went back to her bedroom individually, one-on-one, and read those tributes to her. This is years of a not good relationship. Years. When we did that and then came back and had a dessert and just had kind of a nice meal together. Went to bed. My mom was a great cook. She loved to cook for people. The next morning, I could wake up with the smell of bacon. Who loves to wake up with the smell of bacon? Am I the only one that loves to wake up to smell of bacon? So I woke up with the smell of bacon, come in, and she had the table set. Now, this is a mobile home, right? So the kitchen is probably smaller than this platform, right? Just right in here. Can you guess what was hanging on the wall at 6:30 in the morning by the breakfast table? All three tributes are hanging on the wall. Pretty cool. Yeah. So fast forward. My mom had moved to New Mexico to kind of escape and get away after my dad passed. As she lived there, her health started to change. Myself and Robin Holly had a call, kind of the family meeting without mom call, about health and what should we do about her health starting to go down. Can you guess who was the one to suggest to bring her back home so she could help her? Only God could do that. Right. So that's what happened. We moved her back to the area and moved her into the same town where Holly was at. And she was the primary helper of her as she got older and eventually goes to a nursing home and then passed. But I share this story because I want to give you hope. Because every time I do this, there's somebody there out there that goes, I can't go there. And so the reality is, this is more than just what you're feeling or you're reflecting or what mom and dad did wrong. It's really about desiring to be obedient to God. And I've got so many examples. We don't have enough time for me to tell you all the different tributes that have happened. In fact, one just happened literally 2 months ago, a month and a half ago. A key employee of mine, his dad was just diagnosed terminally. I had breakfast with him. I shared this story with him. He wrote the tribute probably within a week. And within 2.5 weeks, went up there, presented it and to his dad with all his kids sitting around watching. And he told me, he says, I can't thank you enough. The depth of their conversation after that, he said it was like we had a whole different relationship after presenting with him and honoring my dad. So, anyway, I will move on, but that's kind of my story. So this is just kind of fast forwarding what I just shared with you. And so regardless of the outcome, I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. One thing that I missed is literally about a week before we had our trip planned or to go down to see my mom and do all this, I was mowing my grass. I moved up to a riding lawnmower, so I wasn't quite as exhausted this time. But I think this is a really important part to share. is I was thinking and praying about this, that it would go well, obviously, that mom would receive it. But then my flesh started taking over. Do you know what that might look like? Let me tell you what it looked like for me. Well, mom has not been a really good grandmother to my kids, so, and she's kind of done this, and she's always kind of been this way, and so maybe she'll also say, well, you know, and I haven't been a perfect mom, and I want to apologize, and I could have done better, and all like that, and thank goodness something happened where the voice of God said, Ted, this is not about you. Don't go there. And I'm so grateful, because guess what? If I would have, I'd have been really disappointed because none of that stuff ever happened, ever. My mom never came back and said, well, I know I've done this wrong and I should have done this. So I'm so grateful that I got stopped dead in my tracks with that thought process about them coming back to me because it didn't happen. So I just kind of want to kind of forewarn you and manage any expectations. I'm not saying that it'll never happen. I'm just saying that for me, it didn't happen. And I'm really glad that I was really kind of stopped with that thought process. So I had this hardened heart that had developed in talking more about... How are we on time? How far am I on?
You got
12 minutes. Okay. The whole thing about a hardened heart... And for those that want to come to the workshop, we're going to talk a little bit more about that is how do you get your heart in the right spot to even want to do it? And that's really where I was. And so we're going to talk more about that in the workshop. But that's critical of really giving you an opportunity to do that. So one of the things that God kind of took me through as I was writing the tribute was I had realized that I was so focused on my mom's fallenness, kind of her behavior in a way, that I never allowed God to give me a softened heart for her aloneness. My dad, at the age of the early 50s, suffered a stroke, fell downstairs down to the basement, and he suffered a stroke because they realized that he had a brain tumor, an inoperable brain tumor. So our whole world changed that day that he fell downstairs. From then until the time that she couldn't care for him any longer, she was the sole caregiver for him. I was in college, working on a career towards going to law enforcement. One sister was, her husband was a helicopter mechanic, and one time, for 2 years, they'd be in Saudi Arabia, so they might be in Alaska, and then Holly, that doesn't talk to him. So she did that alone. And I had never thought about that. And that's what happens when we get focused on someone's fallenness and their behavior, who they are, and we get so focused on that, we don't really take any time to consider the aloneness that she suffered in dealing with a husband like that, that she literally had to help care for. So I acknowledged in that, in my tribute to her, of how hard that must have been. I acknowledged that she was the one that would take me to church. I don't have a memory of my mom and dad and us going to church together. And so I acknowledged for the first time in the tribute that it was her that really introduced me to the Lord. I should just follow my slides, shouldn't I? How different I look at her life through my 40-year-old eyes. And boy, there's something about that. As we've aged and we have such a different perspective of things and how much more we can appreciate it, thinking if that would something would have happened to me, how hard that would be Yvonne to care for me. You know, you don't think of it that way, right? An opportunity to partner with the Lord to bless my mom. It was not about what I would receive, but simply about being obedient. So what happened as a result that I didn't expect, and I do want to touch bases on this, for those that would consider doing this, and you have siblings, ultimately I think it's best if you can accompany them in this process of getting your siblings to do this together. Although we flew in separately, we flew back to Houston. I routed everybody through Houston, and then they went on to Kansas with my sisters. And on the plane ride, my sister said to me for the first time, I knew who my brother was. So the joint accomplishment and the blessings that can come out of encouraging your siblings to do this together is a big deal. I realize there'll be some siblings, like Holly was initially, and she kind of made the choice of not doing it, right? So we would have just, Rob and I just would have done it ourselves. But if you can encourage your siblings to do this with you, I think it will be a good thing. And the Lord continued to give me these opportunities to share my story on the power of the fifth commandment. So, Mom died on May 18th of 2014, now just a little over 10 years ago. And having the freedom in our family relationships. At the same time, I have people in the audience, when I share this, will come up and they'll have that sense of regret. I wish I would have done this for my mom or done this for my dad. One of the things that I did, which was a way of kind of help healing a hurt for my mom, was that she felt like since my dad died pretty young, that there's, and in her generation, going to gravesite is a big deal. So if you know any person a little bit older, going to gravesite was very much of that culture and something you did regularly to go to gravesite and honor them. And we hadn't done that with my dad in many, many years. So after thinking about praying about it, I actually wrote my dad a tribute. And I got all of us together at his gravesite. And I read the tribute to him over his grave. Really cool. Easy? No. But I wanted my mom to know that we had not forgotten him. So what about you? Are you experiencing freedom in your relationship with your folks? How might the Lord use this book in your life? And as parents, are we living a life that our children will want to honor us someday? And as parents, that's a hard question, especially when you got kids in the house. It's pretty sobering of, you know, how am I doing as a parent? So for those that both parents are gone, I totally recognize that if that's something that you're still struggling with or still have some hurt that you're dealing with, is to... My counsel that I give and I do myself is I isolate writing God a letter and just writing that to the Lord, acknowledging where you're at. But anyway, this has been quite a journey, and I'm so grateful to have done it. And this has been years ago, and you can see the emotion that I still have. It has been so cool to see God work in the reconciliation business. So cool. So, anyway. Let me make sure that's my last slide. I think that is. This is some of the things we're going to do in our time together for the workshop that follows. So for some of those, the people that want to talk more about this, and if you can't make it, you're going somewhere else, we're around. So this is, again, one of my passions is to share this and talk about this. It's been so amazing. We have a work relationship. We're a builder. This guy works for an appliance company. We're at some event, and I don't remember how that even came up, and I found myself launching into, have you ever think about doing a tribute for your parents? And so the guy's a believer, and with hardly any direction. I mean, did you send him the book? I think Yvonne sent him the book. He read the book. He got his brother to do this, all with hardly any involvement for me. And he ended up doing the tribute for his mom and dad. Guess what happened a month after he did this tribute with his dad? He's diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And he is so grateful to have done this and to be able to honor and bless him before health really starts changing for him. So at the end of the day, you know, I think it says in James that we're a mist and then we vanish. And I will tell you, one of the lies of the devil is you got plenty of time. My folks are still healthy. They're fine. You don't have to worry about that. Or they, for what they do, they don't deserve to be honored. Well, all that's a lie. So I would give some urgency because you just don't know. So anyway, thanks for your time, folks. Appreciate it.